I'm sure people saw that post and said, oh my God, I can't believe the CEO posted her feet in a LinkedIn post. I just don't care. I think the impact outweighs the risk at that point for me, because I know there's people on the other side that need to hear that message.
Hello, friend, and welcome. I'm Tammy Enfield, brand strategist, marketing expert, and creator of the Candid Content Framework. Through conversations with creators just like you and sharing stories from brands and thought leaders, we'll harness the power of authenticity and give you the confidence to create content that empowers you and your audience. If you're ready to build a kinder, more empathetic world, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Candid Content Revolution. Jamie.
Hi.
Welcome to my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. Tell me a little bit. I mean, I know who you are. We've been working together for a little bit, but tell my listeners who you are, what you do, and where you are currently located.
I'm currently in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Very, very cold Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am a CEO of Keystone Group International. I'm a mom of four. I am an owner of a 60-acre horse farm as of the last 2 weeks. So I'll update you on all of that. And I share that just because I'm a lot of things, especially beyond just being a CEO. But, you know, that's one of my jobs. And at Keystone, we help organizations create impact at the human level, and we help them grow and scale in a healthy way through strategy, leadership, and culture work. So that's what we do. That's what I do for my day job.
Yeah, you also have a platform around surviving greatness.
I do, yes. My third book is about to be released and is focused on kind of that level of success that you get to where you're at the top of the mountain and you're looking around like, is this what I've been working 80 hours a week for? And there's got to be something more. And that's where I'm at in life. And so I'm kind of creating a platform for a lot of other people that are feeling the same way in life about what's next? How do you live into your purpose? Yeah. How do you kind of create a bigger dent, I guess, in the world?
Yeah. I love how you started, or you introduced yourself with, like, I'm CEO, but here's all the other aspects of me, which I think is one thing we're not used to doing, right? Like, it's always like
hard.
Well, and, you know, I own a, you know, brand consultancy. Oh, how big? How many employees do you have? Like, it's, I'm labeled as how many team members I have or how many clients.
And how important your business is.
How important, yeah, right. And I think there's definitely more to the conversation than that.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because, and I mean, you're aware of this for me, is that this has been a constant struggle for me on social, I'll be honest, is I want to be out there because I do believe I have a platform and I believe I can be a light in the dark and maybe give people hope or a little bit of optimism or a different perspective. But it's also very hard to figure out where that line is as a CEO. This new farm, and I don't mean to keep going back to this, is another piece of it. It's a huge piece of my life. This is a huge new adventure that I'm on. I am not a farm person, but I'm super excited about this. And I'm struggling with how much of that people care, right, that I should share, and how much of it is too much, where it really is my personal life. I think it's a constant struggle for leaders to decide how much they should put on social.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about today. Cause I've been working with you, I was trying to figure out 2 years, three?
At least, yeah.
Two or three. Yeah. And when I came on, it was really about how do we launch a book, right? The Culture Climb. Mm-hmm. And then it was, let's build Jamie a platform. And it was, you were hiring a big team. Like there was a bunch of transition. And as we've come out of this, I've really moved into like helping you build your personal brand platform. Mm-hmm. And your team is handling Keystone's platform really well. But I've watched you kind of ebb and flow of like, I really want to share pieces of myself and I don't want people to think I'm unprofessional, which is something that I work with a ton of people on. It's like, how much can we share that won't think people are like, people won't look at LinkedIn and be like, oh my God.
Why is she sharing this?
So well, can you?
And I'll be honest, I still look at some people where I'm like, "Ooh, why are you sharing that on LinkedIn?" Right? I mean, so I do thing, right? We all have judgments. And this has been a journey for me. And I would say I'm in a very different place now than I was 2 years ago about what I can share. And the reason is that when I've popped into those moments of real vulnerability, I've gotten so many messages on the side of like impact and like, you have no idea I needed to hear that today. And so every time you do it, you're like, oh, somebody needs this from me. So it actually doesn't become about you anymore. It becomes about some, you know, others. And it makes it a little easier to be more vulnerable, but I still struggle with where that line is. I don't think there's not a perfect answer to it.
No, I agree. I do think what I try to talk my clients through and teach people about is that there's a few different ways. Like, let's make sure that all of your content can lead back to a personal value. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we incorporate some pivot stories, like what made you think differently about something. Yep. And then I tell people all the time, we have to share from the scar and not the wound. If we are online talking about something super triggering before we're healed from it, that energy comes across. And those are probably the cringy posts. Like
they are the cringy posts because I know the person and I'm like, why are I need to write this down. It's the scar and not the wound, because that is where I share from. And I've gotten really good at knowing if it's still an open wound. And I need to not talk about it right now, right? I can journal about it. I have other outlets, but social does not need to be the place.
I have a couple, you know, I've worked with you for long enough. I have a couple posts in mind that I saw you really step out. And they weren't ones I wrote for you. They were ones you wrote for yourself. And there's two I have in mind. One was you weren't feeling great at home and you made a post about exhaustion and burnout and like your body will do the thing for you. And then you made a post on your Peloton. Mm. Do you remember that one where it was like a picture of, I think it was Allie Love, and it was a comment or a quote that she had said that really hit you that day.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that was my first book even. Yeah. I talk about that story.
Yeah. Like you were... Both of those posts were obviously not times that you thought, hey, I'm going to snap a picture of this and write a post on LinkedIn, right? Like neither of them showed you, which I don't think is always necessary. Like you don't have to show your face all the time. But do you want to talk about like what posting both of those felt like for you and what feedback you got? Maybe a little context.
Well, I've gotten a lot more in tune with and my team knows this. So I'll show up and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I had this thought this morning. And my marketing manager, Sarah, will be like, make a video on it right now. Like, right? Because I'm passionate. There's something I read. There's something that just hit me. And that's what those posts typically are, is I'm in a moment and I just feel this like unbelievable. And I don't do those very often.
No.
I just feel this unbelievable need to say something. And, you know, I don't just shoot it off. I usually take a picture in the moment and then I give myself some time to really like, why do I want to share this, right? What do I hope it does for others? And the one about being sick in bed, that was a 2-3 week run of a ton of travel, a ton of events, like day and night. And I got to a Friday morning of like the third week. And my body just shut down. And this is what happens to me. Like I know it enough now to know the signs early that I can usually help it. But I was like, couldn't get out of bed. And so I took a picture from my bed of just my feet out the window. And it blew up because I was essentially saying I was supposed to be somewhere really important today. I had this huge event and I wasn't speaking, but I was like supposed to be there. I felt like I should be there and I couldn't do it. And I felt was full of guilt and I felt horrible. And I, you know, put this post out there while I'm laying in bed and started getting all these messages of people like, I do the same thing. Cause it was kind of a warning, a PSA, right? A public service announcement. Like you got to take care of yourself or your body's going to take care. It will force you to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me. And I just think it's so relatable that it normalizes something for all of us. When someone else says that, you're like, oh, I deal with that too. I just don't post about it, right? But I've had that same situation. So I think it brings people closer together when you can be vulnerable like that and share what's really going on.
Yeah. Was there any thoughts that, this was a while ago, I don't know if you remember, like when you were going to share it, was there, I always tell people, if you're a tiny bit scared to hit post, it's probably right.
Yes. Yes.
You have a message to say, and if it's if it's pushing up on some...
Yeah, or someone could possibly disagree with it, or, you know, a client could see it and be like, she's crazy. I mean, like, all these thoughts go through your head, right? But at the same time, I think it's like a muscle. So the more you do it and the more you get a reaction that's positive and impactful, the more open you are to doing it and less worried you are. I'm sure people saw that post and said, oh my God, I can't believe the CEO posted her feet in a LinkedIn post, right? I'm sure there were people. I just don't care.
No, tell me more about that. What does that mean?
I think the impact outweighs the risk at that point for me. And so anytime the impact outweighs the risk, it's a much easier decision. Doesn't mean I don't have a little angst when I hit the post button, but it's a much easier decision for me because I know there's people on the other side that need to hear that message. And usually that's what I say. I'm posting this because I feel like someone else probably needs to hear this today, just like I needed to hear it.
Have you gotten any haters? I always tell people like, oh yeah, you're a first hater.
Not to my face, at least outwardly.
Okay. Any comments that you were like, bleh?
Sometimes it is weird, but nobody like coming at me. But I also really try hard to not take a polarized approach. And it doesn't mean I'm avoiding things. I just think when you have a brand, you have a platform that can impact people. If I'm going to put something out there, I want it to be a positive impact, a light in the dark. I don't want to add to the darkness. Because Lord knows our world is dark enough as it is. I don't need to add to it. And so for me, I try to stay away from my beliefs and I try to just stay to my feelings or what is happening with me instead of trying to push my beliefs on people. And I think that's where that line gets a little fuzzy for some people on social.
Yeah. I like that you said I'm not avoiding it, like the polarizing beliefs, like when you're trying to sway somebody to believe the same thing you do versus just your lived experience in some way, shape, or form of an event or lesson or
right
thought. Because talk I more
think social yeah. media can be a form of manipulation, and I think
100%.
And I'm not even talking about big famous people. I'm talking about day-to-day business leaders don't even realize that they're trying to manipulate when they're using social media, whether it's to sell, buy their products, right? Or to believe something that they believe. And I try to stay away from that as much as I possibly can.
What advice would you give to another CEO? And they don't have to be, it doesn't have to be necessarily a founder-led company. I do feel that founder-led companies, it is easier for the founder to step out.
Yeah.
Than a CEO of a organization that they didn't birth, right?
Yeah. Like, that's true.
But what advice would you have for someone who felt that moment of, like you were saying, like Sarah will sometime point out like that energy right there, go do a video like that, whatever that idea is you're really passionate about, go talk about it.
Right.
If someone else has that one day, like, oh, I just wish I could share this with people. Do you have advice for them?
I would say put the right people around you, and you don't have to have, right? Sarah is that, you are that. Like, it's more of like, should I post this? And sometimes I'll record it and I'll send it to her and she'll be like, it's a little aggressive, right? Like, she'll be very honest with me, or it feels a little angry instead of like, let's ignite people, right? In this. So, because there's certain things that are happening, you know, in corporate America and things like that. And I get very passionate about things like that.
Yeah.
And I have to figure out where my tone, what I want it to be, because I want people to, again, come to my content to feel lifted up, not to feel, right, depleted. And so having people around you that can say, is this tone deaf? Is this the right time? Right? All of those things, because you don't want to put it out there. And it's not about whether people like me or not. It's about, it's either not going to have the impact right now because people are too distracted, or it's going to have a negative impact because of what's happening out there. So yeah. I use my team around me to be kind of my gut check.
Yeah, I love that. The other thing that I'm hearing is that authenticity and vulnerable content, if you will, candid content, can be intentional. It does not have to, I think a lot of people assume or think when you say it's time to be vulnerable or authentic online, it's the I'm crying in my car after a meeting, or the, you know what I mean? Like the tear stain, like if I'm showing a tear stained photo of myself, like there's something really wrong, because that's just not who and again, I find myself.
I can still have those feelings. I can still go through that. And there's other platforms. Maybe Instagram's the place you do that. Yeah. Maybe not. Right. But like LinkedIn for sure not. But I think it's about how do you want people to feel and believe and do with the content you're putting out there? And if you want them to feel like their own mental health issues from your content, then that's not good, right? Like, I think you've got to really think about it before you put it out there and decide where that line is. I can judge too, just like everyone else probably judges me on maybe I'm putting too much out there, but there are people who put more than I think they need to on social. And I think for each CEO, each executive, it's just deciding where you're at in your life, who's watching. Like, my kids are important to me, mm-hmm. and they're on social, right? They're all college age. And I am very cognizant of what I put out there, even about them, right? Or about our family or pictures I share. I always ask them, can I share this? So I think you have other people that are impacted by what you're doing. So it's just being aware of that.
Yeah, I do. I love the idea of being intentional about the authentic content and not just posting because you're feeling passionate about something. Because that passion could, like you said, be tone deaf in the moment, right?
Right.
Or not accomplish.
Have a negative impact. A goal.
Yeah.
What you want it to accomplish. And it doesn't mean you don't write it. So this is no different than any other communication mechanism, right? If you're fired up about something, that is not the time to fire the email off to the team. We all know that.
Right.
It's the exact same thing with social media. There, like, maybe capture it in a video. You can even write it up in a document. Like, what would I want to say about this? And then if it's really powerful, you might want to let it simmer and come back to it and decide when is the right time to post something like that.
Yeah. I love it. One of the sayings that I've been hearing you say a lot is being the dealer of hope, right? For our organizations. But I think that bleeds out to our platforms too. Like, are we creating good corners of the internet, or are we out there for the likes and the engagement, no matter the tone?
Right.
Because we all know negative stories and negative content get way more engagement than good. Like, bad news reaches more people than good news.
Yeah. And I guess for me, it's all about the ripple effect. Is everything I do, everything that comes out of my mouth, verbal or written, has a ripple effect, especially as a CEO. And my ripple effect is probably greater than most others, right? It can impact more people that I'm not even aware of. Mm-hmm. And so that is a responsibility.
So one of the things that I talk to people about a lot too is what's the point of sharing vulnerable content? Other than the ripple effect that now you know of, and sometimes it's people that never comment, but you see at the coffee shop and they're like I had that the other day. I was sitting at lunch with Addison and someone came up to us. Both of us knew her. She was a mom of a teammate, but she's like, thank you so much for your posts on Facebook. And I was just like, oh, yeah.
It wasn't even about a specific post. It's just like, thank you. Like, I enjoy reading them and I feel that same way about other people. Mm-hmm. And I'll see them and I'm like, I just love following you. Like, I look for your posts because it helps me. That's what I think, vulnerable or not, that, right? However vulnerable you want to be, as long as it's having that type of impact on people, then I think you're in the light corners of social media, right? You're contributing to it instead of detracting.
Yeah. A lot of people building a platform are anxious or curious about what ROI to expect. Are they building their business? Are they getting the book deal? Are they getting speaking gigs? Have you seen any of that happen because of social? Have you seen, has it impacted Keystone?
Absolutely has. I cannot give you data to tell you that. We have this conversation a lot inside our organization, but it absolutely has. And here's how I know. Because every time, and I can say almost every time I go to an event or I walk in a room, right, where I'm going to know people who know me, the first thing out of their mouth is, man, you guys are doing some amazing work, or you're killing it. Or like, I loved that post. That is the first thing out of someone's mouth every time they see me. And it's not a, wow, you're internet famous. You know, it's not from that lens. It's more of a lens of like, kind of keep doing what you're doing. Like, I love reading your stuff. And it's overwhelming. But it's the last 2 years, it's just become every event I go to. So to me, that's a metric. right? Whether or not we can, you know, measure it exactly, I absolutely know our brand and our difference and who we are. I would say the soul of our company is out there more than a lot of companies. And I'm really proud of that because people know what you're going to get. And we are not for everyone in working with us, but they know who we are. We don't shy away from it. We don't hide it. And we don't say stuff that isn't true.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest compliments I've ever received is that you show up online exactly how you are in person. And I would say that about what I know of you.
Yeah.
My experience of you is very much when I come to the office and your team, like everybody that I interact with at events or in the privacy of your guys' office, it's exactly the same humans that show up
right
online. And I think
that's authenticity. And we're all, you know, we're all weird in our own ways. Everybody on the team, right? We all have, I think that I've been playing with that word weird because I grew up and I'll date myself, but you know, weird out, like weird was a word that you didn't want to be.
Yeah.
And in a world where it just feels like everybody's trying to be the same, right? Or polarized, I'm on this side or that side. I'm kind of channeling my weird because I'm different. And I think that difference is what makes social media interesting when we all are kind of step into our weirdness, whatever that is.
Yeah. And that's what people remember us for.
Yeah.
You know,
it's uniquely who we are. And I think so many of us, CEOs especially, feel like we have to turn off parts of that. And to your point, I think the greatest compliment you can get is, you know, at the party on the weekend or the gala and in a business meeting, you're the same person. Mm-hmm. That is a compliment to me.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I think like leaders of organizations, founder led or not, should strive to have that same mirror, like show up as you are at the office because I think that's what builds a lot of trust too, right? Like I've worked for people who were completely different humans inside the office versus at happy hour. Mm-hmm. And it caused a lot of distrust. Like who's showing up at the office today?
Correct. People don't know who they're interacting with.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is how these posts made you feel. I know like we're proud of the ripple effect. You love hearing comments about it, but for your confidence and mental health awareness, how has being able to show up like this benefited you?
Oh, if it has. Freeing. It's freeing. And when I first started doing more of this and I first started getting people saying, oh my gosh, you're everywhere. And I love seeing, it made me very uncomfortable because it felt a little like I was putting myself, I know we've had this conversation, right? I was putting myself out there too much. But then when you start feeling the impact, getting the real stories and the impacts from it, it kind of changes that. But the freedom for me and what I really feel in the shift is the two examples that you brought up, you had to bring them up. I hadn't even thought of those in a really long time, right? They were at a point in time and they shared and they had an impact and I moved on. So there's no ego tied to them. That's how I know I'm showing up differently is I'm not actually thinking about those posts that we had huge engagement and I'm just like, what am I going to post this week that can continue that impact? And so it's this freedom that I'm not tied to how many impressions or how, you know, like which post went viral and which post didn't. Like, I just don't care. Did they have an impact or not? And what's the next impact I need to have? So I'm usually always looking forward and I kind of forget about maybe what I talked about 2 weeks ago.
How do you get there? How can creators get there? This is a question less of like leadership, more of, is it emotional intelligence? Is it mission driven? Is it?
I think it's less focused on what everyone else is posting and more focused on what lights you on fire.
Because I honestly believe that our it is a digital reflection of our energy.
Correct.
And if we're posting something that we are bored with,
and that make us bored, like why are we posting it? And when it's same thing when I see people that just repost someone else's post. With no words,
with no context.
It's the stupidest thing you could do. And actually, I think it's even disrespectful to the person you're reposting. I'm like, I want to know what it made you think. Share something of yourself. So for leaders that are listening, please stop doing that. It does nothing for anyone because everyone wants to, your network wants to hear not what I said, They want to hear what you think about what I said or what it made you reflect on. And I think that's even just starting there. And even with my own team who, you know, they're further behind me in that journey, you know, kind of wanting to post. And I'm like, just start, take something I say or somebody else that you read it and you're like, yeah, take it and write two sentences and repost it to your network. Cause your network may never see it if you don't. And if it impacted you, it might impact someone else. And so it's this idea. I just think I've gotten to that point where I know when a post lights me on fire or there's something I want to say and I'll say it. And I also know on the flip side, there's a lot of people that I haven't unfriended or disconnected from, but I've muted.
Yeah, me too.
And it's a respectful way to just say, just like you, if you saw them in person, you'd have a quick conversation and you'd move across the room. They don't give me energy. And what they have to say, I think, is negative, and I just don't want it in my life. And so I don't want to be that for anybody. Everyone might not want to read every one of my posts, but I don't ever want to be one where they're like, mute, she's more, you know, so negative. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. I also think that when people share their brand's page post without context, I never see you do. You've done it a couple of times when you're proud. Like there was a Steph recently got a.
Yeah.
Like when you'll share something and be like, oh my God, I am so proud of her. Like you always add that context when you're sharing Keystone's posts.
Yeah.
You aren't just sharing it to get your network.
No.
To raise the statistics of that post, right? Like you can tell when people are doing it for vanity metrics versus.
Yeah, correct. Versus and even if you are, there's nothing wrong with sharing your company's post, right?
Mm-mm. To increase exposure. You should.
But why?
With context.
Why do you care?
Yeah. why do you like this post? The post
you want to share.
One last thing I want to touch on is we touched on it briefly before in terms of when I don't talk about something polarizing, it doesn't mean that I'm avoiding it.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit earlier about like making sure that as leaders, we not everybody that we are in in community with have to agree with us. They don't have to believe the same things we do, but we have to all be able to respect the space and hold space for each other.
Right.
I do see content that does not accomplish that goal. Mm-hmm. People are really trying to sway opinions or this is my belief. And other than them trying to make sure everyone around them knows what their belief is, there isn't real impact to those posts.
I saw an Instagram meme, and I'm not going to get it exactly right. I think I shared it on my story right before the election, it must have been, right? Hugely polarizing time. I totally understand. And it was like a cartoon that just said something about essentially no one is changing their fundamental beliefs and their vote based on your Instagram post. I just think we've got it all wrong. I want to create an environment. And I think this is a responsibility of a CEO. Is I would never want to post something that made any member of my team feel like they weren't safe at work, right? Or their opinions or beliefs or political weren't safe. So when I take a side, that creates, people can disagree with me, it creates an unsafe environment. I am a steward of the culture. I'm not the culture, but I am a steward of it just like everyone else is. And the moment I post about some belief of something, it alienates half of the population. Not that you can't have those beliefs. It's just, what are you trying to get across?
Is there a place, like there are some hills I'll die on. There's some causes and hills I'll die on. Is there ever a place for you standing up for a belief?
Absolutely. Yes. And thank you for this isn't me saying you don't stand up for your beliefs, but I think you stand up for them in a way that is transparent and educational and not preachy and you're looking down or polarizing people who don't believe what you believe. You know, I think there's a lot of places where this is happening today. Even organized religion is a place that this is happening, and I'll just go there. I think there are a lot of people who put their beliefs out more to make, you can tell from the posts, more to make themselves feel like they are good Christians or good whatever, you know, than they are to actually change anyone's beliefs, right? Or shift anyone's perspectives. I don't think we share enough of the backstories. I don't think we share enough of the data or why we feel the way we feel. We just share how we feel. It's harder to impact people that way, to see your point of view when it sounds preachy.
That's, I think that's the gold right there, is making sure that you share why you feel that way. If there was, I call them pivot stories, people call them different things, but is there something that happened to you or you witnessed or you heard that helped you to think differently or really somehow like support these beliefs, or like what really helped you double down on this? Like, what is, why do you feel that way?
Right. And I mean, I don't share this a lot. I mean, people know, but like, I even think about, you know, some of my beliefs about teenage pregnancy and, you know, Planned Parenthood and all of these. I don't share those beliefs, but I do tell my story of being, my mom got pregnant with me at 16, right? It had me at 17. We used all the services, any service in the United Way or any, I've got clothes at Salvation Army and we went to the food shelf. Like, I'm a proponent of all of that, but I'm not a proponent of all of that because I feel like we should give handouts. I'm a proponent and I tell the story because someone gave us a hand up. And my mom's in a different place and I'm in a different place because someone gave us a hand up, not a handout. So that is a, right? That is a stance on something, but I don't just share my stance. I share why.
Yeah.
Because when we share our stories, I mean, this is what social media should be about, is when we share our stories and what we've grown up with and how we were raised and what that, how that impacted us, we tend to have more grace for each other and how we feel and what we believe in. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So
it's about telling the story as a leader, if you're going to be on social, but then you've got to be willing to be vulnerable. For me to tell the world that my mom was a teen mom and was a statistic. Thankfully I broke the statistic because like 85% of teen moms have a child who is also a teen mom. Mm-hmm. But as a CEO, that's something for many years I didn't want anybody to know.
Right.
I wanted everyone to just assume I just had a normal operating. No, it's part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just getting comfortable with those edges, as we talk about it, those, the edges that are maybe defining parts of our story, but aren't the pretty parts.
Right. You know, they usually aren't.
I mean, it's a lot of years of therapy, right? To get comfortable right. with those. Yeah. It's a very expensive process, but I am. And so now I don't really have boundaries. You know, I go on podcasts like this. And I'm like, ask me whatever you want. Be prepared. I'm going to answer.
Yeah, I love it.
Not worried about it anymore, right? Because I know who I am and I don't know.
Jamie, I love your platform. I love helping you be a dealer of hope when I can. I appreciate your authenticity and your candidness and your realness. You are, like I said, you are in a room as you are. I've not been to your home, but I am assuming. I've met your children. Like I'm assuming that you show up at home much like you show up at your office. And I appreciate that about you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
Oh, well, I'm everywhere. LinkedIn's probably the best place. Instagram, Jamie_Tates. We've got Keystone's website. I also have my own website, jamietates.com. That's got all my books and retreats and all of that kind of fun stuff. So you can learn a lot more about surviving greatness there.
Do you want to leave any final thoughts? Like what does the word candid mean to you?
Candid is, I think, respectfully sharing your energy.
I like that.
Respectfully being the key part is thinking about others when you're sharing it, but just sharing who you are with the world. I think there's a great quote by, I can't even remember it. I'm not going to get it right, but it's essentially find what lights you on fire and then do that because the world needs more people who are lit on fire. And that's really what I feel like right now. And my job is to just light other people's fires, right? To just go underneath and light them all because our world needs that light right now. We need people who are in their passion areas and candidness is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need people talking about it. We need leaders at the top talking more about this stuff because it's going to create the space and open the door for other people.
Yeah. Is there anything that I maybe didn't ask?
There's a difference between having a belief and telling a story. I respect the people who can tell their stories. And then I actually, that might actually shift how I believe what I believe about something. But you preaching to me that I'm supposed to believe something is right or wrong constantly does nothing for me. In fact, it makes me push away from your content. So I just think people need to be aware of that, that's the stories is what's going to get people to believe more of what you believe, not just you telling them they should believe what you believe.
Yeah, I think the stories is what helps us think as consumers, think differently about something. Like I've learned, I have a friend who's an author and she's a fiction author. And it wasn't until recently that I realized I was also learning a lot about myself as I was reading fiction. And it's all about the story and what the character's going through. And if they're going through something that's similar or maybe completely different, but it helped you look at something differently.
It reflects it back to you, like what your, and it's the exact same thing that happens just is the human condition, right? Between two humans is most of my fears and my ego, right, are reflected on what I see from other people. And that's reflected back on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten better at really paying attention to what is triggering me and why. Because it's actually about me, not about the person who's the trigger.
That's the hardest thing to learn, isn't it? I think that's
it. And it's the hardest thing to stop and say, why is this triggering me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I've been in a 5-year, kind of journey of really challenging the beliefs, my belief system.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in small town Iowa. I, grew up and was handed a whole bag of beliefs that I was supposed to carry with me forever. And a lot of those beliefs don't serve me anymore.
Yeah.
And so I've had to challenge a lot of those.
Yeah, and figure out what parts of it you're going to take forward and what parts of it you're going to leave behind.
And I've thought I was going to move in one direction and then got in that direction and decided I didn't want, right? That's my prerogative. But I just think more of us need to challenge our own beliefs instead of just sitting so rock hard in them and believing it's the only way. Those are the posts where I'm just like, I'm out. You're muted. Like if that's your only way is to tell people how they're supposed to feel, that's just not good content.
Yep. I love it. Yeah. That's not thought leadership.
It's not. It's not. And I think most people think that are doing it think it is, but they don't understand it's not moving the needle in any way like you think it is. There's a different way to do it that could actually move the needle and you could use it for good.
Thanks for coming on, sharing your story.
Thanks for having this conversation. I love it.
I appreciate you.
Have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Bye. Bye. Friend, for listening. My thanks to Brand Out Loud Design for their audio branding and sound design. If you enjoyed the show and want to share it with others, why not leave us a 5-star review? And remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Tammy Enfield. And until next time, authentically yours. I'm Tammy, and this is the Candid Content Revolution.